Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us on this Maundy Thursday comes from 1 Corinthians in the 11th chapter, where again the apostle writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" In the chapter that comes just before that, the Apostle Paul writes the following: "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." This is God's word. Tonight, at Jesus' command, we focus on the Lord's Supper. And I say at Jesus' command because that's the meaning of Maundy Thursday. The unusual word Maundy is an abbreviated version of the Latin mandatum, from which we get the word mandate. So yes, it really is Mandate Thursday, or Command Thursday. What's the command? Do this in remembrance of me. Eat of this bread and drink of this cup, and in so doing, Jesus says, relive what I did. That's really the flavor of it. Not merely remembering information about Jesus as if you were taking a test. This sort of remembering is like stepping into the story yourself, like the Seder meal that many of you just participated in, getting involved in the action, participating in the story. Taken this way, the Lord's Supper is nothing less than being touched by Jesus at his table. Here, in this church, Jesus serves you with his body and blood. We come here to be forgiven in a way that involves all of our senses. In Holy Communion, you come into contact with Christ and you are changed. You can never be the same again. At least that's what the Lord's Supper is supposed to be like. How often is it that way for you? Have you ever come to the Lord's table with very little thanks in your heart? Have you ever sung, "We come to your table in remembrance of you," with very little thought attached to the words that are coming out of your mouth? Do you sense a closeness with Jesus as you commune? Do you open yourself up to him here at the altar? One of the saddest views, one of the most misinformed views of the Lord's Supper comes from the person who says, "I don't go to the communion table unless I've really been improving my spiritual life. Unless I've really cleaned up the things I've done wrong. Unless I've really become worthy of going." Now, it's true, St. Paul urges us to examine ourselves that we might receive the sacrament in what he calls a worthy manner. But that worthiness is not based on personal goodness. The worthy manner of Paul is trust that Jesus is hidden in bread and wine and that he comes to this table to forgive sinners. The worthy manner of Paul is, in fact, an admission of our unworthiness and the belief that Jesus delights to eat with unworthy sinners and pass along the forgiveness and acceptance that he purchased at the cross. As the hymn writer of Rock of Ages once wrote, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I bring nothing to the table. Yet Jesus still meets me there to give me what I need most. In a blessing that faith comprehends, you and I participate in the body and blood of our Lord Jesus. We step into the story ourselves. As you eat and drink, you receive Jesus. For that reason, the Lord's Supper is an intensely personal experience, and at the very same time, we need to grasp the powerful community experience that's happening here too. The community that is created by this activity. Again, as Paul writes, because there is one bread, we, who are many, are one body. For we all participate in the one bread. Maundy Thursday, the Thursday when Jesus gave the mandate, "Do this in remembrance of me," is a time for renewal of Christian unity. It's a time for a renewal of how we see each other. It's a time for renewal in the mission that we share of making disciples. It's a time to take a stand against Satan, against evil. We will not be such easy prey for our enemy when we stay in fellowship with one another, and that fellowship is only strengthened as we come to the Lord's table together again and again. As much as it may bruise our pride, we need each other. Alone, we stumble, we fall. United in Christ, we move ahead together, doing far more together collaboratively than we could ever do all by ourselves. Story is told of a little girl who once got lost in a huge cornfield. It was winter. The temperature was well below freezing when she went missing. And so almost immediately, rescuers went out and searched for her. They searched for hours to no avail. And finally, one of the searchers suggested that the group start at one end of the field and hold hands. And holding hands, survey the field, walking hand in hand together in a systematic way. And what do you know? The girl was found in very serious condition, but alive. The father of that little girl was heard to cry out, "Dear Lord, why didn't we join hands before?" Why didn't we join hands before? It's time for renewal of our Christian unity. If we join hands, we'll do a much better job of finding the lost. Jesus will renew us in that unity at His table. He will come and fill us with His gifts, and then He'll send us out into the world as His ambassadors. Our participation in the body and the blood of Jesus always leads to action. It never fails. Jesus always pulls us in to bless us, to then send us out. Will we join hands and go? We all come to the Lord's table for very personal reasons. Our need for redemption runs deep. When you come to the altar rail tonight, look around. We're all receiving the same gift. And by coming to the table, you are saying, I need the forgiveness only Jesus can provide. The people with me here have the same need. The people with me here have the same solution. We have the same Savior. And that Savior has taught us to all address God as our Father. Do you see what that makes us? I want to make sure that this hits home with you, because we have some powerful enemies. The world, the devil, even human nature itself does not want there to be unity in the family of God. Those forces are desperately trying to tear us apart. They have a vested interest in dividing us and turning us against one another, and they would eventually if we did not have Jesus in common. If we did not have Jesus' grace and mercy as our ultimate values, if we did not have His redemptive love at the center of our lives, if He did not first reconcile us to Himself, there would be no reconciliation among us. If He was not here at His table, there would be no agape, selfless, unconditional love to share. But He is. And there is. His word is true, and His heartfelt desire is to bring us together and keep us together around His table. So come with all your hurts and burdens and sins to lay down. Come with all your joys and thankfulness, the great blessings of your heart. Come hungry and trusting in your Lord's promise that this body and blood are given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Your forgiveness. Come. And let's join hands in the Lord. Would you please pray with me? One in faith, in love united, all one body, You the head. When we meet by You invited, You are with us as You said. One with You and one another, in a unity sublime, see in us Your sister, brother, one in every place and time. In Jesus we pray. Amen.